Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We continue in our series looking at the church as we consider the question, why are we here? This week and next week we will focus on probably the most famous of the metaphors of the church, the body of Christ. This is such a rich metaphor with many different important aspects that we'll be using 2 weeks to reflect on what it means for us. The Apostle Paul is the one who speaks about the church as the body of Christ. This theme is not found anywhere else in either the Old Testament or the New Testament, but it was clearly an important metaphor for Paul's understanding of the church, as he refers to it in Romans, 1 Corinthians, Ephesians and Colossians. We're going to be focusing mainly on the passage in 1 Corinthians 12, but we will draw in elements from other passages. So let me read from 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 7. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another a message of knowledge by means of that same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable we treat with special honour, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And yet I will show you the most excellent way. So what does it mean to be the body of Christ? Why did Paul find this message so helpful? To answer this, we're going to consider how we're called to have unity in diversity and diversity in unity. This unity in diversity is seen most perfectly, of course, in the Trinity, God being three in one, with each person of the Trinity being distinct, and yet them being completely unified as one God. So we as the church are called to reflect God in this diversity and unity. So for this week, we're going to focus on how, as part of the body of Christ, we are called to diversity. And then next week, we will focus on how we're called to unity. When we consider the human body, we can see that it is made up of many different parts with their own roles and functions. And so Paul uses this illustration to demonstrate that we are all uniquely made and gifted, and that it is not to be considered a weakness, but rather a strength that allows the church to function as a whole. So let's delve a little bit deeper into this and explore three themes within this need for diversity. Firstly, everyone has different gifts that God has appointed. Secondly, there should be no comparisons. And thirdly, everyone needs to play their part. So firstly, everyone has different gifts. This is a key theme that Paul is keen to establish, that everyone has gifts. And these are different gifts that God apportions as he wills them to be used in the unique way that he calls each individual to do. In verse 7, Paul writes, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." And then again in verse 11, "All these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines." Notice Paul does not say to some or to those that God deems worthy. Instead, he says to each one. Sometimes we disqualify ourselves from being part of God's plans because we think we don't have anything we can offer him. We believe that we are not gifted enough to serve him, that God couldn't possibly use me. But Paul explicitly tells us that this is not true. Each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit. We are all blessed by gifts from God. When we believe otherwise, that is the voice of the enemy trying to undermine your trust in God. If, for example, I believed God had gifted other people but not me, that would be undermining my faith that God loves me unconditionally, as I would always be wondering in the back of my mind, why didn't God gift me with anything? This shows how damaging the belief that God only gifts some people can be. Satan tries to make us doubt God by sowing seeds of disunity and suggesting that some are better than others. Sometimes the enemy works through our own inner voice, as our low self-esteem tells us that we don't have any gifts. We can be our own worst critics, even people that seem amazingly gifted to us, and we think surely they know how gifted they are, can be full of doubt and poor self-esteem. For example, a musician known as Brian Welch, who was part of a heavy metal band, so not someone you think has self-confidence issues. What he once said, "Every time I looked in the mirror, it was like, you're not good enough. There's always someone more popular, there's always someone more gifted in music." So we can be our own worst critics. But if you feel that you are not gifted, reread 1 Corinthians 12 and be reminded that God has given to each one. Of course, Satan also works through other people. You may have heard nasty comments from people that try to put you down. Some of the worst ones come from people close to us, parents, siblings, friends, who say things that imply a lack of talent or gifting. But the voice that we need to listen to most is the voice of God. He loves you so much that he has chosen to gift you with special gifts. So I want to state this really clearly and firmly so that we can crush the voice that tries to say otherwise. You are gifted by God. God has placed his Spirit in you. And by the Holy Spirit, you have been blessed and are gifted in one way or another. So God has gifted everyone with his wonderful gifts, but he doesn't give us all the same gifts. As Paul tells us, God distributes them to each one just as he determines. God knows who needs what gift for what purpose, and so he chooses to give people different gifts for the unique circumstances that each person faces. Paul uses the image of the body to show how unnecessary it is. Let me start that sentence again. Paul uses the image of the body to show how necessary it is for us to have different gifts. In fact, his illustration shows us how absurd it is for us to all want the same gifts. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? This leaves me with the ridiculous image of a huge eye trying to listen to music, or an ear trying to smell a flower. God made our human bodies to be created of many different parts that all perform their specific functions. When we think about the church in this way, we realise how ridiculous it would be if we all had the same gifts. There needs to be different gifts, otherwise how would the church function effectively? Paul picks out some specific gifts that he mentions, but know that this list is not an exhaustive list of the gifts that God gives by his Spirit. But even in the few that he mentions, we can see how ineffective the church would be if everyone had the same gift. If we all had the gift of tongues, but no one was able to teach people about God, then the church would never grow. Likewise, if everyone could teach, but no one had the gift of healing, then those that need healing would never experience God's love in such a way. We need diversity in the church for the church to function properly and to be able to love God and to love people. And of course, this need for diversity is not purely limited to the gifts of the Spirit. It also applies to our need for different people from all cultures, backgrounds, class, personalities and perspective. We need people who are able-bodied and those with disabilities, those who are neurotypical and those who are neurodiverse. We need people from all parts of the world, people who are academic and those skilled with their hands, and so on and so on. Church is not just a place where all people are welcome. It is a place where all people are needed. The diversity of the church allows us to function as the body of Christ. God has gifted the church with diversity, and he has gifted us diversely. A quote by Angie Caron: every single person is gifted. Every single person has an amazing thing, an amazing perspective to offer life. It is inherent in every single person, in each and every one of us. We all have greatness within us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us and he gives us great gifts. So do not assume that you don't have any gifts. The second thing to note about the diversity of the body of Christ is that there should be no comparisons. It is part of our human nature that we compare ourselves to each other's, to rank ourselves against each other. But this is not how it should be in the church. For the Corinthians, this was a contentious issue, as they were prizing some gifts above others, which led to them valuing those people with certain gifts above others without them, and dismissing those with so-called lesser gifts. But Paul reminds us, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. How often do you find yourself thinking, I wish I could do that like that person over there, or I wish I was gifted like him, or even, I'm glad I'm more talented than her. Perhaps the next time you feel like that, you can remind yourself that diversity is necessary. God has given you gifts and skills, and there is no need for comparison. We might think that there are some people who have gifts that are so obviously needed. For example, we look at someone with the gift of healing and we think that should be treated with special honour and lifted up. But Paul says that it is those things that we consider as less honourable that we should treat with special honour. We need to recognise and lift up all people and all gifts so that they are given equal concern. I suspect that one of the things that many Christians struggle with is a low sense of confidence in their giftedness. Shannon Elder said, "Everyone battles fear and uncertainty every day. However, the only failure in life is believing that your value relies on other people's approval or resources. The reality is this, when you are living your authentic self and not how people want you to act, then you are free to use the full spectrum of your creativity and gifts." Let's stop comparing ourselves with each other and learn to see the value that we have as individuals. God made us unique, and he gifted us for our own situations and circumstances. Your life is not the same as someone else's. Even if you were an identical twin, your life and experiences would still be different to your twins, and so you would need gifts and skills different to the twins to face the challenges and experiences in your own life. Theodore Roosevelt once said, "Comparison is the thief of joy." And it's true. When we compare ourselves to others, we stop experiencing the joy of the things we have for ourselves. If we look down upon another or look up to another, then we are not able to see the value God gives us. Look at yourself through God's eyes, not another's. Don't look for approval from other people, but approval from God. The third important thing to say about diversity is that everyone needs to play their part. Paul reminds us, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? And now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. We are all part of the body of Christ. In Romans 12, Paul says, "We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. We all have gifts and we all need to use them. Everyone has a place and a purpose in the church. And if one person doesn't use their gifts as God asks, then the whole church suffers. You might feel like what you have to contribute is insignificant, but it is important if we want to see God's kingdom grow, that everyone plays their part. We all have gifts that God gave us, not to hide away or to use to serve ourselves, but to use to serve God and each other, to love him and love one another. How are you using the gifts God has given you to serve him? So as we think about the body of Christ, we see the need for diversity, that everyone has gifts, different gifts that are given by God. No one has no gifts. Everyone has something from the Spirit. We also see that there is no need for comparisons, because it is God who gives us the gifts that are unique for our situation and our circumstances. And everyone needs to play their part, to be a participant, not just an audience member. So let's pray. Lord, help us not just to pretend to love others, but to really love them. and in doing so, to use the gifts that you have given us. Lord, we thank you that you have blessed each one of us with your gifts. And we pray that we would stop comparing ourselves with each other, but instead learn to look at ourselves through your eyes. Lord, help us to be willing to use your gifts in the way that you have called us to. In your name we pray. Amen.